bring up some of the horrors that you had to go through. But what the difference between what I would show you and what somebody else would show you is how to let it go while it's happening. How to relax. But to be able to show you how your mind works by pulling up some of the things that are causing the stress. There's some people that come and they start practicing with me and they have a lot of memories from past things that are really bothering them. Whether they're big or small doesn't really matter. What matters is what they're doing with them in their memory. And they try to stop it and they try to push things away. And the more you try to stop and push things away, the bigger and more intense that stress becomes. So when you're able to actually let go and relax the tension caused by that reaction, there's little tiny bits of relief. Now, for some people, when they come and they say, they tell me that they've got a lot of unsettled business from the past, one of the things I tell them to do is to practice forgiveness meditation. Forgive yourself for not understanding, for causing yourself upset, for causing other people upset, whatever it happens to be. The forgiveness meditation is a very important aspect of the loving kindness meditation. And this is a very powerful meditation that will help relieve memories from the past. Or not relieve the memories so much as relieve the pain caused by the memory. So the more you can begin to forgive and to allow these past things to let go, the more you begin to understand how mind actually works. And with that understanding, there's more and more relief and more openness, and you start seeing things in a much different way. Anyway, the more you recognize how things work, the more you start letting go of the tension from past actions. And when you let go of the tensions from past actions, then you're more completely in the present moment. And you have balance in your mind. The biggest problem that people run through with these kind of depressive disorders is taking it personally. Now, you're made up of five things. You got a physical body, you got feeling, you got perception, you have thoughts, you have consciousness. When a painful feeling arises, there's craving that happens right after that, and then you begin to think about the story. Why that memory is coming up and how you don't want to think it or how you don't want to feel it, excuse me, and you start to try to think the feeling away. But the more you think and try to control a feeling with your thoughts, the bigger and more intense that feeling becomes. That's why people turn to taking drugs. Because they don't know how to handle, they don't understand what's happening. They don't understand how to let go of these kinds of, or let be these kinds of feelings, because they're identifying with it. This is my feeling. This is who I am. These are my thoughts. These are my memories. All of these belong to me. And that's a wrong perception. That's a wrong way of looking at how things arise. When a feeling arises and you try to control that feeling with your thoughts, you have to look a little bit deeper and say, did I ask that feeling to come up? Did I say, I haven't been depressed for a long time, I haven't been angry for a long time, I haven't been sad for a long time, and now's the time for it to come up? Nobody's going to do that. Everybody wants to be happy. But the truth is, when a feeling comes up, it's there, even though you didn't call it up. It's still there. What you do with what arises in the present moment dictates what happens in the future. If you try to fight with the truth, or control it, or make it the way you want it to be, you can look forward to bigger and more intense suffering. And it will come up more and more often the more you try to push it down with your thoughts. So what the meditation does is it teaches you how to recognize this as a process that's not yours. You didn't ask it to come up. You can't make it go away. So why take it as being yours? As you start to see by the relaxing, let go, and you relax. And then you put a little smile on your face. And return to your object, whatever it happens to be. And keep with that object. You're beginning to teach yourself how this process actually does work. Meditation is not about being taught by somebody else. Meditation is about you teaching yourself how to observe. I am not a teacher. I am a guide. I ask questions sometimes that can shock you and make you take a look at it in a different way. But that's just by saying, hey, we're going through this forest here. I've been this way many times. You follow me. And when you start going off the path, I'm going to come back and say, no, don't go that way. Go this way. Because that's the way I've shown it, that I'll show you how to do it. But you're teaching yourself all of the different aspects of that path. You're teaching yourself how this process actually does work. And how to let go of the identification of taking this personally and grabbing onto it and trying to control it. You can't control the truth. I mean, you can be exceptionally happy or you can be exceptionally angry and be walking down the road and kick a rock and have pain come up. It doesn't matter what your mood is in the present moment. What matters is what happens in the present moment and what you do with it. So the more you allow, the more you relax into, and the more you smile into whatever you're doing, the clearer your mind becomes. people with all of these depressive orders, or disorders as the case may be, they might need to continue on with their drugs for a little while until they learn how this process works. They might need to start backing off very slowly as they learn how this process works. But I'm really becoming more and more firm of the opinion that you need to clean out your body while you're doing this. Because when you hold thoughts and memories from past experience, you are identifying with them. And these past experiences can cause your blood to become toxic. And as you start purifying your mind and you purify your body along with them, you're going to find all kinds of amazing transformations happening. When you start more and more to see how this process works, and you start to see how you can let things go without taking them personally, then you would, if you're taking drugs, then you would start backing off a little bit more and a little bit more until you feel secure. And using your head and your being the judge, not letting anybody else be the expert for you, you be the judge for yourself as to what you need in the present moment. If you need less drugs, then take less drugs. Now, I had a student in Australia that he was taking very, very heavy drugs. He was what they call bipolar, and he was in a mental institute when he started practicing. Over 6 or 7 months, as he kept practicing more and more, he started taking less and less in the way of drugs. They said that he was getting healthy enough that he didn't have to be in the mental institute anymore, and he could be out on his own. He had a girlfriend. He was getting ready to marry the girlfriend, and she came to him and said, I'm not gonna marry you. I have another boyfriend. I'm extremely depressed right now. And he started tumbling down into his old habitual ways of thinking and looking at these problems. And it wasn't more than a week, I don't think, after he got out that his girlfriend committed suicide. Now, this is going from bad to worse, you know. This is really heavy duty. First, she tells him, I'm not gonna marry you. I've got another boyfriend, and now she commits suicide. So he was really tumbling down the hole pretty heavily, and he went to the doctor and explained what was happening. The doctor told him to take these heavy drugs, but he was reluctant, because he didn't like the side effect of the drugs. He was just completely wasted for the whole day. It so happens that he was taking a retreat with me online, and he asked me what I should do, what I would recommend for him to do. And I told him, first off, you have to recognize that it's not your fault that she committed suicide. And you have to forgive yourself. And you have to forgive her. Now, he went through some good days and some bad days. And I was continually telling him over and over again, if you feel like you need the drug, take the drug. If not, feel a little bit more balanced, then don't take as much. See how it goes, but you be the judge. I stayed with him every day, sometimes two and three times a day, for about 2 weeks. And then he started realizing that, one, it wasn't his fault. Two, there was a lot of pain, but he didn't have to suffer because there was pain. And he started gaining a sense of balance again. But he still would have a period of 1 or 2 days where he just dove, and that's okay. He's now over that. Remembers his girlfriend, but now there's no suffering with those memories. That's what meditation is about. That's what it's for. So that you can keep your mind in balance no matter what is happening. It teaches you that. Those little papers that she had with us, the 6 R's on it. That is exactly how to practice your meditation. Exactly. Precisely. That will take you all the way to complete awakening. We have to realize, and this is one of the things that has to be stressed with people that have these kind of disorders, is that sometimes these old habits are going to come up and try to bite. And these old habits of thinking and acting in the same way that you always acted when these kind of situations arose is going to happen. But you have to forgive yourself for criticizing yourself, for not accepting the fact that these kind of things can happen. And use them as a lesson to learn from instead of a trial to try to beat. There's no winning and there's no losing. There's only, this is for real. It's okay for this to be happening like it is. It has to be because that's the truth. That is the Dhamma. What you do with the Dhamma, that's the question. When you learn how to do the meditation, you begin to let go of your old habitual tendencies of every time somebody says this, I get mad. Every time somebody does this, I become sad. And you start to let that go a little bit at a time. It's not a real fast process. Old habits are hard to let go of. And it's okay for old habits to be hard to let go of. It has to be okay. Because it's the truth. The biggest bad habit that we have is how much we criticize ourselves. And we have to start being nice to ourselves. We have this blown up idea in our mind that we're perfect and we're supposed to be perfect, and then we get upset when we don't act in that perfect way that we think we're supposed to be. And then we criticize ourselves and become mad and depressed and frustrated and all of the other things. That's when you start forgiving yourself for not being perfect. Forgiving yourself for making mistakes. Forgiving yourself for not understanding that here we go again. I got caught by this old habitual tendency again. So it's a process that is a gradual training and a gradual learning. And it takes a lot of effort to let go of our old ways of acting and being and developing new ways of acting and being. The more we can realize that it's okay to make a mistake, just be aware of it, and say, okay, I made that mistake, I forgive myself for that, I'm not going to make that same mistake again. Then, starting over again. This is a process of starting over again. Now, these six R's that we gave you, they seem really simple, and they are. Smile more. Have an uplifted mind more. Real easy to say. It's simple to say. Not so easy to do. So, even though this is simple sounding, it does take a lot of effort to start letting go of these things. And as you let go more and more, your mind becomes more uplifted all the time. You start experiencing a really clear mind. And you start experiencing more and more contentment in your life. That's meditation. Meditation is not necessarily just sitting down and not moving. Meditation is watching what your mind is doing all the time. And you see your mind grab onto something and become sad or mad or frustrated or depressed or whatever. Your real question to yourself is not, why is this doing this? Your real question is, how is this happening? When you see how this process works, then you start seeing it in an impersonal way. You don't ask these things to come up, they come up by themselves. As you see that as part of an impersonal process, you go from I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm depressed, I'm whatever, to it's only this anger, this sadness, this depression. Certainly not mine. When it's only that, then it's very easy to let it go. After you do that for a period of time, then you start changing your perspective all the way. And when you change your perspective, then everything becomes easier. Life becomes more fun. Everything becomes a joyful experience. Your sense of humor starts to change. You start laughing with things. And when you hear somebody say something that's really true, it'll make you laugh. It's really odd when that happens, but it does happen. So, I hope I answered some of it. The thing with the people that, especially people that have they had to do things that they were ordered to do that were not very nice. And they were not, and they experienced a lot of guilty feeling because they were ordered to do it and they did it. But they feel real guilty right now. That's where the forgiveness comes in. You have to forgive yourself for making mistakes. Holding on to the guilt and punishing yourself doesn't help you. It actually gets in your way. So what you want to do is go, okay, that was then. Now I can do something more about it. A lot of times what I tell people to do when they have done something in the past, they've killed someone and done some very nasty things, that what they should do is go out and buy animals that are going to be killed and let them go free. You go to some of these restaurants, especially here in San Francisco, you have all of these fish that are ocean fish. You can buy the fish, keep it alive, take it out to the ocean, let it go free with the thought of letting go of past mistakes. Giving life is one of the most powerful things I know you can do. It's really amazing. I quite often tell the story about a lady that had cancer, and she came to me in Malaysia. The doctor said she had a month left, and she was really weak. She said, "What can I do so that I'll die happy?" And I told her to go out and buy something that was going to be killed, let it go free. She went out to the fishing boats and bought the bait fish. She got 100 of them every day. The fishermen saw her letting go of the fish and thought she was really crazy. She's still alive.
Is that the lawyer that thought of that? She was a lawyer, wasn't she?
But she's still alive. And I've been back in this country for 10 years, and it was 5 years before that. This is how powerful this is. Giving life makes your mind happy. Doing it consciously will help overcome any guilty feelings at all. It's just great, isn't it?
All these
activities.
When you give life, there's something inside of you that says, you know, that was a really good thing. It starts bringing up the joy. When you have joy in your mind, you have a wholesome life. So it's real important to forgive yourself for making past mistakes. They're gone. Nothing you can do can change those past mistakes. What you do right now can dictate what happens in the future. So you start giving life, you start forgiving yourself for your past mistakes. That means your future is going to be bright. There's not going to be the guilty feelings and the old habitual habits that cause so much suffering. Now you're giving yourself a lot wider band to change in and start leading a life that you think is good. That's the whole point, isn't it? Okay. I've been talking for a while. What do you think? And cleaning your body as you clean your mind is a good thing.
Yeah.
It really is.
I think think, a lot of the veterans that are in the meetings, some of them, it just, like, they're so used to turning to alcohol that they think that that's one of their only,
the only way they can find relief.
Yeah.
I do understand that, and this will definitely help get them off of that destructive cycle.
Mm-hmm.
See, the beauty of this stuff is, if you want to heal yourself, you can. This will show you how to heal. This will show you how to be more happy and productive in your daily. And it will show you how. I love no mufflers.
My
bike never sounded like that. I know a lot of cars that made more noise than my bike. The thing that this meditation does is it teaches you how to be happy with yourself, about yourself, and you start affecting the world around you in more and more positive ways. You help other people to get these kind of things, because the only way you can teach is by example. And when you give that example to other people, of they see you have some kind of a hassle, and you handle it with a mind that isn't emotional, that isn't upset, and you work out how to solve the problem. When they see you do that and still smile, that creates a big impression. I had some friends that were in Vietnam, and when they got back from Vietnam, they turned into closet alcoholics. And the only time they got any sleep at all was when they drank alcohol right before they went to bed. After showing them over a period of years, as I learned it, this kind of meditation, now they've turned into real happy and productive people again. They let go of the suffering. It's not that you'll forget what happened, but you won't suffer because of that. You won't suffer from guilty feeling. You won't suffer from the sadness of not following your convictions or whatever it happens to be. This will very much help all of the soldiers coming back, for sure.
Our biggest thing is, how do we reach them? How do we get it into the system? Or even it's just through, how do we get it into the system? We know it's American.
See, I tried to get into the system at where there's a lot of addicts, drug and alcohol both. And I went to this interview, and I told them, I've been in prisons, I've taught in prisons, people start doing better, yada, yada, yada. And then they said, well, but there's people here that are young and they have alcohol addictions. I said, addictions, it doesn't matter what kind of addiction it is. You can handle them all in the same way. Close the door up right there.
Well, I know that when I was in this other group meeting, the instructor or the facilitators, they... used at the end of the session. They would meditate, you know, by kind of, it's like a relaxation, breathing, relaxation, exercise, so they'll be able to kind of like quiet their mind and kind of just try to relax before leaving, so that, you know, they talk through the meditation, that they talk through
guided
it.
Guided meditation.
Guided, yes.
Right.
But it takes a certain kind of, it takes a certain amount of time and understanding on everyone's part, and they have to have the desire to let go of this condition. Have to have that desire. If they don't, it's a waste of time.
If they've bought in completely to the fact they are a victim, and this is them this way, and they're a victim of this, it's much harder for them to climb out of this. However, if they understand how it actually works, then it's through understanding, it's through knowledge and vision of experiencing this, knowing by seeing how it all works for yourself, that you can catch it and let it go before it's destructive to you personally or to somebody else.
So what, you just said, you know how you're saying when something like depression arises, you didn't ask it to show up?
Right.
But then there's the people, you have to have a desire to let, to...
You have to learn how to point your mind in the right direction to let it go. That's what that desire is.
Because if you have the, you know, you like being a victim and...
Not so much you'd like it, that you accept that society convinced you you're a victim and this is you.
And there's nothing you can do that will ever allow any change to
no.
happen.
No.
You remember during the retreat what you think and ponder on, that's the inclination of your mind. If you feel like you're the victim, you're continually telling yourself in all kinds of different ways that you are a victim. And that's an old habit that has to change. And the way you change it is by practicing the six R's. And forgiving yourself for buying into that untruth. See, when I ask people, do you want to heal yourself, what I'm really saying is, are you willing to work hard enough to change? Change from your old way of acting and being to a new way of acting